It is in the counting yourself among them,
yes.
For in your willingness to join them is your healing accomplished. Just recognizing the truth almost takes you there.
Yeah, and I used to experience at least a twinge of jealousy when some people would describe realizations or spiritual experiences that they had had that I had not had. I would feel a twinge of jealousy, and that twinge of jealousy comes from the belief in separation. It is a hurtful thought. I've never felt a twinge of jealousy and also felt perfect joy at the same time.
Right.
So what was happening is that was moving me away from healing. But what Holy Spirit taught me through NTI in chapter Acts was exactly what Nikki is saying, that we are all one. And when any one of us has a realization or a spiritual experience, it's actually helpful to the whole. And what Holy Spirit asked me to do was to rejoice mm-hmm. when my brother shares his realization mm-hmm. or his spiritual experience and realize that his experience is also for me. And as I began to practice that in trust, that became a very sincere expression. So now whenever anybody tells me about their experience or the realization, I am genuinely happy for them because I know that it's mine also.
When we heal and there is a thought that's within our mind that is healed, the Holy Spirit then brings people who have not healed that thought to us. And we share that. We share that healed thought with them. And when we do that, we show them the miracle. While they're still in the before stage of it, we have now moved on to the after stage of it. They can identify with it, move with us in their mind. So when we heal, we take our brothers with us. This is not anything. You cannot do this alone. You do not do this alone. And most importantly, you do not want to do this alone. Because the atonement is the oneness, to see us all as one.
18?
Yeah. And denial is as total as love. You cannot deny part of yourself, because the remainder will seem to be unintegrated and therefore without meaning. And being without meaning to you, you will not understand it. To deny meaning must be to fail to understand. You can heal only yourself, for only God's Son needs healing. He needs it because he does not understand himself and therefore knows not what he does. Having forgotten his will, he does not know what he wants. And what this really speaks to is, I'm not responsible to go out into the world and try to fix everyone's thoughts. I am responsible only to accept the atonement for myself. Eyes on my own paper, so to speak. But when I go and Holy Spirit uses all of the healing that does happen and speaks through me in more of a clean channel, more and more and more, I find that when my brothers are ready to hear the Holy Spirit more within them, and their readiness and willingness puts them in a position to hear what is being said through me, that's when the healing happens in their own mind. So it's really important that I never say, well, that person healed my mind or I healed their mind, because that's not what happens.
No.
I'm only responsible for healing my own mind with the Holy Spirit. I'm only responsible for accepting the atonement for myself. But in doing so, the quote-unquote side effect is that I extend that love and that healing and that miracle to my brothers.
Yes. Okay, so moving on to 19 then. Healing is a sign that he wants to make whole, and this willingness opens his own ears to the voice of the Holy Spirit, whose message is wholeness. He will enable you to go far beyond the healing you would undertake, for besides your small willingness to make whole, he will lay his own complete will and make yours whole. What can the Son of God not accomplish with the fatherhood of God in him? And yet the invitation must come from you, for you have surely learned that whom you invite as your guest will abide with you. This is exactly the summary that I wrote of the NTI study that we had last night. In NTI, the words are slightly different, but NTI Hebrew says that we are the leader of our own awakening. And what it means by that is we have to call out the purpose, and we actually make the decisions. Holy Spirit is there to help us, and Holy Spirit is there to do his part, but we have to do our part. So we have to decide, for example, that my purpose is healing. When we decide that our purpose is healing, it doesn't matter whether that feels like a full-blown desire or whether that feels like a tiny bit of willingness. That is irrelevant, because the Holy Spirit's will for the exact same thing is perfect. And as soon as we call out to Holy Spirit, my will is for healing, Holy Spirit joins us completely. Therefore, the will is perfect, even though it may seem like a tiny bit of willingness on our part. And then secondly, what happens is that, again, we have those thoughts that come into the mind until we're perfectly healed, the thoughts that come into the mind from the Holy Spirit, and the thoughts that come into the mind from the ego. And it is our job to practice discernment and to choose which guide or which interpreter we will listen to. And if we choose to listen to Holy Spirit gets louder and clearer and louder and clearer. But if we continually choose to listen to ego, that remains what feels like the primary voice in our mind. So we really have two purposes. One is to decide what our purpose is. And then the second is to follow through by continually choosing the guide that represents that purpose.
In the beginning, where it talks about that healing is a sign that he wants to make whole, we can picture it as that we have a split mind, and the pieces of our mind are all like pieces to a puzzle, and that the Holy Spirit knows the whole. And so while we are looking at some pieces we think we want and some pieces that we think we don't want, but that we're keeping it all fragmented, we don't see the whole. We don't see the big picture, so to speak. And when we realize that we're suffering, when we realize that we're at conflict, when we realize that we are not at peace, when we realize we have fear because we do not know, we do not see the whole big picture, we do not see the whole puzzle, and we do not know ourselves as whole. When we realize that, that is actually the impetus that makes us willing to have another way, to seek another way, to ask for another solution, to start surrendering and opening up. The Holy Spirit never coerces or manipulates. He never attacks, never attacks. He will never force you to do something. He is invited in the section. He is invited as a guest that you want. And you have decided that you want it because you have decided you don't want what you think you have wanted this whole time, which was death. The belief that you are something other than you are, that the world is what it is from that perspective. So knowing that it's an invitation from the beginning, that tiny mustard seed, that tiny willingness, that tiny, 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 tiny willingness is all that's needed at first. Knowing that, and that the Holy Spirit is your guest, starts you to realize how gentle and loving it is. There's no judgment. There's not, finally, you're finally asking me to help you. There's none of that. There's no manipulation. It is just that our willingness comes from our lack of tolerance to be other than we are, because the suffering is too great. The Holy Spirit cannot speak to an unwelcoming host because he will not be heard. The eternal guest remains, but his voice grows faint in alien company. He needs your protection, but only because your care is a sign that you want him. Think like him ever so slightly, and the little spark becomes a blazing light that fills your mind so that he becomes your only guest. Yes. Whenever you ask the ego to enter, you lessen his welcome, his being the Holy Spirit. He will remain, but you have allied yourself against him. Whatever journey you choose to take, he will go with you, waiting. You can safely trust his patience, for he cannot leave a part of God. Yet you need far more than patience. And I liken this to, this was the analogy that was given to me actually in the beginning, many years ago. I had a very difficult time. It seemed like radio stations and TV stations, and that was what was given to me, that my mind was constantly bouncing back and forth between radio stations and TV stations, and I hadn't decided, you know it's like, I want this, and this is what I think. And the static and not being able to hear the Holy Spirit wasn't that the Holy Spirit wasn't there. Was that my focus was on something else. That's all that ever happens. There's a saying that says, when you feel like God's moved, it's not God, it's you. Your awareness is on something that you think you want other than what is. That's it. And that can cause great conflict. And then later on, I realized that nobody ever really does more than one thing at once. And I was watching a TV show, and my husband came in, he started talking to me, and I promise you, I didn't hear a word he said. And then it occurred to me that his lips were moving and he's standing there. And I looked up at him and I saw him, and Holy Spirit said, that's what happens when you're listening to the ego.
Right.
I'm there standing there talking to you the whole time, and you don't hear a word I say, but I'm there waiting.
Yeah. Also, another thing that I want to point out is the absolute kindness, the absolute love, the absolute patience of the Holy Spirit. I do have friends that are aware of the fact that right now they continue to choose ego. They're aware of the option for Holy Spirit or ego, and yet for now, it seems like in their experience, the attraction to ego is still very strong, and they go for ego. And then what happens afterwards is they judge themselves for doing that. The truth is, if that's a situation that you're in, the perfect next step for you is to let go of that judgment. Because believe it or not, it's that judgment of yourself for doing it that's actually helping to cause that strong attraction to ego and the continuation of doing it over and over. So even if you see yourself choosing ego, if you can remember the absolute patience, the absolute kindness, the absolute loving mind of Holy Spirit, and realize that you are in no way being judged by Spirit, and join Spirit in not judging yourself for choosing ego, what will happen is that that attraction to ego will actually begin to grow weaker, and soon you'll find yourself choosing Spirit. So the judgment kind of keeps us stuck. So it's always helpful. Lisa's running off. Apparently I just said something that triggered, my guess is something that's written in her journal. She seems very excited. So here she comes, yes, with her journal in hand. Let's find out what Lisa has to say.
We were just talking about this. See if you guys think this is as funny as we did. We were talking about how we can magnify any emotion, that any feeling that comes as the consequence of a thought that's other than the Holy Spirit. Judging ourselves for judging, or feeling afraid that we're afraid, and feeling sad that we're sad. Whatever it is, compounding it, and not allowing that feeling to just come up, and realize that in that moment, something is coming up to be healed. And allow the feeling to be felt, and the thought to be looked at and given to the Holy Spirit, so that it can be released. And so the thought that came up, it was so funny, was, if you are afraid, I love this, because if you are afraid that you're going to listen to the ego too late, because fear is listening to the
That's
ego.
Right.
It was so funny. We were laughing, so I had to run and get it. So, all right. So who was next? I think it was you.
Let's see.
It's you.
I'm totally lost.
Who it's you. It's 20, paragraph 21.
Thank you for being so responsible. All right. You will never rest until you know your function and fulfill it. For only in this can your will and your Father's be wholly joined. To have Him is to be like Him, and He has given Himself to you. You who have God must be as God, for His function became yours with His gift. Invite this knowledge back into your minds, and let nothing that will obscure it enter. The guest whom God sent you will teach you how to do this, if you but recognize the little spark and are willing to let it grow. Your willingness need not be perfect, because His is. If you will merely offer Him a little place, He will lighten it so much that you will gladly extend it. And by this extending, you will begin to remember creation. What I feel like I just read was my experience. I feel like I just read my experience. I mean, it started off where I would say that Holy Spirit was like a little spark that I would never have even identified as Holy Spirit. But the little spark for me was when I read the book about Peace Pilgrim, her life and her work in her own words. The stories that I read about her led me to see that she knew what love was, and I didn't. Like, for me, love was some emotion. But for her, love was like a very real power, a very real force. And she knew it, and I didn't. And my desire to know what she knew was that little spark. And it's that little spark, I'm absolutely certain of it, that eventually led to when I started A Course in Miracles and when I said this prayer before beginning the book. Something came down over me, this desire to surrender. That desire to surrender came from that little spark. I've always known that. The spark to know what she knew. And so this little spark, I began to listen to the little spark, even though at that time I never would have said, I can hear Holy Spirit. But there was an attraction to this, and I began to give it attention. I began to follow it where it led me, which was into A Course in Miracles and into doing the workbook every day, really just as the workbook was written. And I continued to let it grow. I continued to follow it. And then the guidance came, I think you guys know, in my case, to write with the Holy Spirit and to teach what I was writing. And then the invitation came to teach. And what I learned through teaching was this was my opportunity to listen more and more and more to the spark, which now was becoming a voice, which now was becoming a very real guide. And the more I wrote with it, and the more I taught with it, and the more I practiced what it asked me to practice, the louder and clearer this voice got, until it is so loud and so clear now that I never doubt it. And I'm not at all confused in my mind between the difference between ego and Holy Spirit. I still hear both, but I'm not at all confused between the difference in them, because I know what they sound like. I know what their characteristics are. But it started just as a spark, a tiny, tiny spark. And it grew and grew and grew until it just became as clear as it is.
One of the things, and this really speaks to different aspects of this, in addition to what Regina said, is one of the ways that we start experiencing and practicing this is when we are talking to someone else or, you know, speaking with our brother, and we ask that the Holy Spirit speak to us and through us, and we get out of the way. And so we don't have an agenda, we don't tell ourselves what the problem is, what we think we need to fix, or anything like that. We just surrender, and we just open the mind and allow Spirit, and we tune into that feeling of peace and that connection, that knowing, and allow that Spirit to speak through us. And instead of having a thinking, you know, okay, this is the problem, I got to fix it, this is what you need to know, this is what you need to do, blah, 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 it's coming through. And you actually have, it's a practice where you start, and it says, invite this knowledge back into your minds and let nothing that will obscure it enter. What I call holding space. You're holding the space. You're not filling it with your own thoughts, your own projections, your own ideas, and your own fix-its and your own experience. Now, it may be that something from your seeming past will be brought up as something useful, but it will feel different. It won't be, oh, I know this, I know how to fix this, because we're learning not to let our past be what tells us what to do in our own life, and we're learning by also being there with our brother. The other thing that I feel guided to say, this will be familiar to anybody who's in 12-step recovery, is that we have a magnifying mind. And so we can focus in on either the ego or the Holy Spirit. And the more willingness and attention we give to either, the bigger in our consciousness it will seem to be.
Yes.
And this is true about the ego or the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so if we start letting go of the ego, detaching from the thoughts, detaching from the thinking mind that wants to think it knows everything, that is so closed off that it's not open to anything, and we start focusing in on more and more, and this is a practice, and it is a practice for everyone, but we practice and we tune in more and more. As we're tuning in, that magnifying mind is now focusing in on the Holy Spirit and listening in and tuning in to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gladly meets us wherever we think we are in it. We pray, we ask for the miracle. And this is something that I do. This is just my own practice. But if I feel like, for whatever reason, maybe something's been coming up to heal and it's a doozy, I might ask for some reassurance. I'll say to the Holy Spirit, I'll say, speak to me strongly today. But gently, you know, like I know, but just speak to me strongly. meet me where I think I am. What I'm doing then is inviting consciously the Holy Spirit all the way in and actually making the affirmation that I am going all the way to the Holy Spirit. You know, even though my mind is so distracted by what's coming up to heal, I am sitting there and saying, I choose you, and I know that if I invite you to do this, you'll gladly come in that way. And he always does. I get this stronger reassurance. I'm going through this, and I get more signs, more witnesses to what it is. And I am able to heal through whatever that is with less delay. And so that's just one of the things that I do, knowing that it is not asking that makes the Holy Spirit able to do that. It's opening up and saying, I'm willing to have you do this, because only by invitation does this happen. I have to open the door. I have to open my mind. I have to say, this is what I want. And by doing that, it allows the Holy Spirit to flood into the rest of my consciousness and share with me all that is helpful in my awareness to help me to heal.
And Lady of Wisdom has asked, what does A Course in Miracles say that ego means? And probably the belief in separation would be a great way to describe what the Course says ego means. It's that belief that we're separate from God, that belief that we're something different from God. And the key word there for me was belief, which means it has no truth to it at all. But we give it a lot of power, and we have to learn how we give it power, and we have to learn to start choosing again.
This is also for Lady of Wisdom with the PTSD. I was just telling Regina about this last night, but I healed from a tremendous amount of trauma, of stuff that I was holding on to in my mind with such terror, in my mind. And the Holy Spirit gently but sternly walked me through all that trauma, all of that stuff, to where I still have some stuff that I'm moving through, but not to the degree that I had before. I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. And to me, all that really means is that who I think I am is so identified with the story of what I think happened that it is so difficult to be able to relax, to rest, and to allow what I really am to just be. And so that identification, being as strong as it was, I still did what I just said before. I tuned into the Holy Spirit. I knew something was coming up to heal. And I literally holding the proverbial hand of my appointed friend and said, walk through this with me, knowing that the whole sky seems to be filled with clouds, but keeping in my memory the memory of the sun and focusing on that only. And I have healed from a tremendous amount of trauma, really. I have some stuff that it's amazing that it what's coming up now has the power that it does, that's moving, because compared to what everything else that healed before, it's night and day, and Nikki knows a lot of all that, but I won't get into it. But just to kind of bear witness, in a sense, to say that the Holy Spirit can heal it all, that there really is, even though with something as strong as post-traumatic stress disorder, it seems like that there are levels of difficulties and that there are some things that just won't heal, and I'll be taking this forever, I'll have this thought or whatever. It seems like that, but it isn't really true. It isn't really true. And that these things do heal. And that's a huge thing to be able to really say from experience instead of reading from a book or having somebody else tell me. So,
and I noticed that Barbara is asking, she says yesterday she had a conversation in a spiritual group as to what innocence means. And she said, how would you define it? Really, I guess the best way to define it, which of course is just going to be another set of words, but the best way to define innocence is the love that we are, or you could say our reality or our truth. It's absolute innocence. And, you know, the thinking mind has a lot of difficulty with that idea. And the reason the thinking mind has so much difficulty with that idea is that the thinking mind truly believes it has changed what we are. And so if it's taking absolute innocence and changed it, then that must be, absolute guilt would be the answer to that. But what Holy Spirit can show us, what God can show us, what inner realization can show us as we practice forgiveness is that we have not ever changed what we are. In fact, that's an absolute impossibility. And because it's an absolute impossibility, our innocence is also absolute, and guilt is a mere illusion. So what we are is innocence. They're completely synonymous, and they are unchangeable.
I'll just add one little thing to that. That was gorgeous.
Thank you.
I love that. I was like, wow. Innocence actually has two different meanings. It depends on who's asking. The ego says that innocence means that somebody has to be guilty. So I'm innocent and you're guilty. Holy Spirit says that innocence is your natural state. It's who you really are. It's the awareness. It's the knowledge of who you are. And that you are innocent, no matter what. It's actually the lack of thoughts that are other than aligned with the truth. It's total clarity. And so when we think about innocence, the correction actually starts by the question. Are we a body? Are we seemingly separate? And are we needing to see innocence because we believe in guilt? Or are we looking to return our mind to the awareness, the full and whole awareness of who we are, which is that awareness is innocence, without doubt, without fear, without guilt, without any thoughts that block the awareness of love's presence. Mm.